Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, 3 minutes past 5 p.m. Time for the Think Tank. We have Crane Durham. Good to see you. How are you?
Doing great.
Did
great
you just come from you. A tennis lesson?
I did this morning. Yes,
yeah, absolutely. You got that
yeah.
look.
Yeah, on the court, then off the court.
Yeah.
it's good. It's good to see you all. Congratulations, by the way. The show sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
Awesome job.
You could not be more of a tennis pro from like Falcon's Crest. Right?
He's got
the longest deal,
yeah, doesn't
know.
He?
That's it.
It's like, how many lessons are you taking from Mr. Durham, honey? Like, that is so you.
It's strictly tennis. That's it.
But he has a radio name.
Yes, he does. Yes. And that's Debbie Monterey from KMOX. Good to see you.
Good to see you. And congratulations, Rachel and Ryan and everyone.
Yeah, we're all here today. And the Rammer, Bob Ramsey, are you a pal?
Hey, buddy. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too, man. How did SLU end up this year?
We ended up great in the NCAA tournament. It was one of those years that wasn't really, it was good, but not trending like we hoped.
Yeah.
And it was a marvelous sort of a Phoenix deal, kind of reimagining the team. And then they finished strong, got in the NCAA tournament. So it ended up ending kind of the way you'd hoped with postseason.
Good. And is it really promising for next year?
Very promising. Great recruiting class. I think they're going to officially add another player maybe as early as this weekend. And very, very excited about the near and the far future.
Not to get too into the sports weeds right away.
That's boring.
But I've always wondered, like, what is it that keeps SLU from being like a Xavier?
Continuity. And that's what Travis Ford and his staff is bringing, continuity. And continuity and support. And the administration is fully on board. Boosters, you got to have all those things to get to where the Xaviers, Gonzagas, you know, the other non-football, but the elite ones are. And that's how you get the continuity. And Travis is pushing it there.
Because I've always thought, I mean, SLU is a for real school.
Right.
Just academically. You would think there'd be a lot of kids out there who would look at, not that Xavier's not, or Gonzaga, but you would think that that would make up their mind, like, I can get a real degree.
And I think it does. But when you go through stretches, sometimes, you know, it's your own fault. You shoot yourself in the foot. Other times, circumstances beyond your control, like your coach dies.
Sure.
I mean, you know, you go through those things. But having continuity is the one thing you see at a Gonzaga and a Xavier. And Xavier, they've changed coaches over the year, but usually promote from within, and so you can keep that continuity.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going with SLU.
Debbie, you an athlete?
I used to be pretty athletic until my knees went south.
The lament
on me.
Of the athlete. The knee. Always the
knees, the
knee.
The stupidest part of the human body.
Right.
Quite possibly.
Exactly. How tall are you?
5'11".
Wow. You're Dutch.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
We Dutch are quite tall.
Yeah. Now, I remember having lunch one time years ago. And I said, you know me, I'm like, why are you so tall? And you're like, I'm Dutch.
We are the fastest growing people on the planet, I like to tell people. And I've been in the Netherlands a couple times in the last 4 or 5 years, and people were like, did you notice how tall everyone is there? And I go, no, what I noticed is I didn't think about my height the entire time I was there. That's what I noticed.
So this is the weirdest start to a Think Tank ever. But were you really tall, really fast?
Yes. I was like, I remember I was like 5'4" in eighth grade, and I went for like a checkup, and the doctor said, oh, she's going to be 6 feet tall. And my mom was like, no way, because she's not very tall.
Look at the paws on this one.
And then I just remember growing like a weed over like 6 months and almost feeling crippled because I grew so much. And I was 5'10" my freshman year in high school, which was
clothes
terrible.
Clothes don't fit. Your feet
right.
Awkward.
All the boys are tiny and you just are like, feel like Godzilla. Yeah, so...
That's great.
Yeah.
So I'll start with you, Deb. When I walked in, they're showing some highlights of Donald Trump and the press conference. And, you know, I always feel bad for the people who, it's like, I'm here with the delegation from Uruguay. And then everyone starts asking him about Don Jr. And he just, you know, the people standing behind him, I just feel terrible for. And I said, what's going on? You're like, he's just bitching. Like, I mean, like, how bad was it?
Oh, you know, I was kind of half listening. He was talking about the China trade talks, but then it just kept devolving because he just vents, you know, the microphone is open and he just was, you know, complaining about the Mueller report and the, you know, they're out to get him and the Democrats and Jerry Nadler, and he beat him before, and he's gonna, you know, it would just keep derailing, and then he would kind of get back on topic, and then it would just go off again, and it was just kind of a typical Trump news conference where he just bleh.
I will acknowledge now, so you can tweet me if you want or whatever, Facebook, but I will acknowledge you now, people, that there are those out there that when I say what I'm about to say will of course say, well, that's because you play checkers and Trump plays three-dimensional chess. But there's a story here. Donald Trump wiped nearly $1.5 trillion off of global markets in a single tweet after threatening to double the China trade tariffs. Okay, I've accepted who he is and that he goes around the media and he goes straight to us and he tweets, and I get it. And I don't really complain about it anymore. It does no good. I do complain about this. And if he's playing three-dimensional chess, I wish he'd go back to checkers, because I think there are other ways to get this accomplished with China, and I don't want $1.5 trillion taken off of my 401k. Does that make sense, Corinne?
It makes sense. It's the responsibility of the office, and this is where I will get feedback from people who are Trump supporters. I'm a Trump supporter. He's my president. I voted for him. But there are things that I just fundamentally disagree with him, and there are better ways to go about it, like a strategic economic dialogue that has been taking place over time, or going after specific targets with your sanctions or the penalties and appeals. And we do quite well at the WTO. So it does bother me. And there are things that what's interesting is when we have these conversations, I sit there and I go, wow, what a great economy. And then I read the story or we hear again about the 30-year loss way back. And I'm sitting there going, that's all politics and frankly, bunny stew. The fact is, the policies that he put in place and that were passed by Congress first and foremost have unshackled us economically, and he's done that through deregulation. That's a good thing. I can get behind that. But when he goes and makes these statements, I sometimes get the idea, and I pray that is not the case, I sometimes get the idea that if he's going to put America first, then put the office first and recognize the responsibility of the office. And I don't mean that talking down or in any way. I'm sure he obviously is done very, very well. There's just some things I really disagree with.
And you know, Dave, I think that's the thing where we're getting the crossover. Many of us, like you said, we've been able to separate policy from style or lack thereof. But now, if we cross over where the style is actually going to affect policy, you know, he embraces himself as a street fighter. But once you cross over, okay, street fighter, you'll take a punch. But when you're taking a punch, the whole country's taking a punch. And so at that point, you'd better win. If you're going to get in that street fight, you'd better win, because it's not just you. It's all of us. It's not the art of the comeback, because the country may not be able to.
Yeah. And I'm sure that there have been other presidents throughout our history who have been just as tough in negotiations. They just didn't do it in public with 143 characters. And so if you want to be tough on China, good. It's about damn time. But you're never going to get $1.5 trillion back from a single tweet. That just
you got to show me how you're going to win.
Yes.
And if I have to wait to the conclusion, if I have to wait for that bottom line, I'm willing to wait, but it's going to be a win or a loss, not a okay. You know?
Let me say something positive about Trump. When the story came out from the New York Times that, hey, we have 10 years of tax returns and he lost $1 billion over a decade, it was the biggest yawn of all time to me, because I'm not rich, but I do have several pretty rich friends, and I know the game. And the more money you make, the more the IRS thinks you lose. That's how rich people stay rich, is that they show losses that are only technical losses. Now, whether Trump really ran his businesses so terribly that he lost a legit $1 billion over 10 years, or if more likely the truth is he just took advantage of, you know, the tax code like all my other rich friends do. This is a non-story.
We all know guys that and ladies that sometime will invest in companies or start companies because they know they're going to lose.
They need to take a loss.
They know that's going to lose.
Yes.
But what I keep going back to, because I know, and I love what both of you guys are saying, because you can separate the person from the policy. I think at this point, whenever we talk about Trump on this show, I just think, with so many people, it's not even worth talking about anymore, mm-hmm. because if you love him, you don't care. And if you hate him, everything's bad. And then there are, you know, a lot of us in between, like, I want him to do well, but he keeps punching down and he keeps picking fights. And it bothers me on a daily basis.
Deb, but you get this. You can imagine this because you and I having a show, we have our base. The people, 80% of people tune in the morning to hear you for a reason. Same thing for me. And if you decided, you know what I really want to do is explore my comedic side. I really want to start doing more kind of DGS stuff. You would risk losing that very loyal base. Mm-hmm. And so for him, it's exactly the same. I can imagine the conundrum he's in having such a rabid loyal base that, you know what, if I got a little more moderate and a little more less cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, I might bring in another 20% of middle people, but he might lose 30% of those. I mean, I get it. I get that conundrum.
But I also wonder, you know, for everyone who says, oh, that is not even a big deal, I don't care. If President Obama had done that, would you not be losing your mind? You know, if he was out there saying, yeah, I had a business and I totally took advantage of the whole tax code. It was a sport. You know, I declared bank. You know, all of the things that are happening now would not be excused with someone else. And I think that's just kind of what bothers me. It's like whatever happens now is fine
because
I like this guy.
Sure, the double standard.
We see that with the infrastructure bill and the arguments for now versus what they were against before. And I think this is where you got to speak up for economic prosperity and economic principles that have been proven throughout time. I mean, it's not like we haven't tried the policies of the Democratic Party when it comes to, and I'm not talking about the JFK tax cut Democratic Party. I'm talking about today's Democratic Party of raising taxes and stifling growth and doing that. We also have protectionism and we have a long history and we understand this. This doesn't work. And I understand negotiation to a degree that we all can, but you make your best arguments when you defend economic principles, and ostensibly Republicans would be individual liberty and freedom. And looking at that as a source so we can protect innovation and allow that to happen. And when I hear President Trump speak to companies and say, I'm going to punish this or do that, I'm thinking to myself, wait, whoa, hey, what is your job? And tell me why that's going to work when it hasn't before.
And I think, and we'll take this up after the break, that but we'll take it up after the break. Quick break, DGS.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. So what I was going to say, the president suffers from, and I'm not even sure suffers is the right word, but here's my analogy. When the Alton Bell Casino first opened, and I'm, God, in my early 20s, and I went over there, and I won $300 in blackjack. And then I took all my buddies back, and I was like, just call me Ace, and this is how you play blackjack, and this is a king, and this is a five, and within about 5 minutes, lost my ass. And I went in there with this false sense of, oh, I've mastered this, and I can't lose. And we've all been like that in situations, and that's how I picture Trump. Is that Trump really has, you can't take it away from him. He really has won most things. I mean, he's taken a lot of punches, but he's usually the last man standing in the ring when the dust settles. And that scares me because I don't want him to get that same thing where he's like, oh, China, yeah, tell him we're going to double the tariffs. This'll work. Eventually, he's going to get his ass handed to him. You know,
but not just it's not just
like
his
Rammer
ass.
Says, right. It's not just his ass anymore.
And you know, let me probably step on some toes here, and I'll probably get people even at St. Louis U mad at me. A lot like former President Father Biondi, Lawrence Biondi. He got unbelievable, awesome, great things done, but there was fallout.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many toes, amputated along the way. But, and so what you hope, though, with Trump is that the fallout after, whether it's done soon or in four more years after that, that the fallout is there's not more negative impact than positive. St. Louis University wouldn't be, I always, you know, called the jewel of Midtown. It wouldn't be what it was, what it is, excuse me, without Father Biondi. And you know the controversy that goes with him and him not being the president anymore? It's all there. But you can't deny the progress the university made in his 25 years or 30 yeah. years, whatever it was. It was really, really remarkable. I think Trump, again, like beyond, you know, they're fighters.
Yeah.
They're fighters, and they're single-minded when they have a focus yeah. of a goal. Single-minded, they're going to get there, and they get there. But what will the fallout entail, yeah. and what will that lasting impact be?
I wrote down the other day on my poison pen notebook that I think Trump is a bad guy doing a great job. And I say bad guy, I don't mean he's a villain. I don't think he's a monster. I say bad guy the way I would say I'm a bad guy. Like, I'm a little shady and sketchy, but I think I do a good job. And
well, note to self, get poison notebook from Glover's desk.
No, I just think like, to me, it's there exclusive. Are normal people, and then there are kind of sketchy people, and then there are like angels. And I'm somewhere between sketchy and normal. And I think that Trump is probably a little farther on the sketchy even than me. But I don't need him to be a great guy. I wish he were. I wish he were more like a Mitt Romney type and crushing it. But this is how he does his job. And I think he's doing a great job.
Okay. But that doesn't stop us from saying, me or other conservatives who, or the leftists for that matter, or liberals, difference between the two, but the fact is of criticizing and advocating for what you believe in and to continue to do that. Now we have an environment where it's the team yeah. sport and it's the tribe sport where it goes one side or the other. And I'm sitting there going, wait a second, where are the principles?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be that way. I'm rooting for our president. I rooted for President Obama. He was my president. Now I criticized him because of the scandals and because of the bad policies and what he did to this country for 8 years. It was really bad policy-wise and the way he represented it. And in the same way, I see like what's happening today, in the same way, criticizing President Trump would be to say, hey, wait, I'm going to stand up for what I believe in and ostensibly what the platform of the party or would be in that way. And it troubles me because when it comes to foreign policy, I don't like him playing nice with Putin. And I understand, I get all that. But the fact is, you got to speak out against evil, like the Maduro, for example,
yeah.
Venezuela.
Yeah, it's nothing good ever comes from having an uncriticizable leader, mm-hmm. ever.
Agreed.
But I do think that with the exception of the three of you in this room, there are an awful lot of people who encourage him to act the way he does, because at the end of the day, they love that Trump punches liberals in the face, and they want him to keep punching people in the face. But unfortunately, while it may be amusing and fun and satisfying, you can't get, you know, you say he's doing a great job, but, you know, Crane talks about the infrastructure bill, like you can't keep punching them in the face and then think we're going to get anything done and move the country forward. And I really just feel like, you know, Bob, I know you say that he's doing great things. Concretely, I'm not seeing all that many great things. Like Biondi, I can go down to Midtown and I can see this great field and this Doisy Research Center and these great soccer fields and the medical complex. We hear the economy's great, all these wonderful things are happening, but concretely before my eyes, I don't see it. I just see a lot of fighting and punching down and people just so entrenched on either side now. In all of my years, I think it's worse in that regard than it's ever been in my lifetime. And I just would like to get things done for the good of the country. Does that sound too Pollyannish?
No, I don't think it sounds Pollyannish, but I would just go back and people say, why do you always go back to the Obama years? And I do it because I want some context to where we are now. And I look at the ISIS videos every week. I look at apologizing for America every week. I look at backdooring Israel and not supporting our allies and not standing up for the rule of law. And I have a huge problem with that because we got that and we had a, not you, but there is a mainstream media bias that is far to the left. And so you had almost an apology group for the Obama administration versus a press corps that seems dedicated to pursuing at anything a narrative, regardless if it's matching up with facts. And that's concerning. And so we have this loss of confidence, and I'm not denying that we have a problem here in America of talking to each other mm-hmm. and getting our ideas out and the tribalism that we can see. But bottom line, we had a whole lot of bad things going on for about 8 years with policy that we've had to really address in the last 3 years. And I look at our national security overall. I have some big time problems with the president on certain things and certain policies, but I believe we are in a much better place than we were.
I wanted to make a comment about, we can get into the whole Mueller bar stuff, but I'm going to say as a lawyer, and that always sounds so cocky because it's been 20 years since I've really been in a courtroom, but just from my legal training and from my really admittedly cursory look at the Mueller report, here's my take, that as far as the obstruction of justice goes, I don't see obstruction of justice, but I think a lot of, I also don't see someone who's rolling over and showing their belly. I think that if I said, you know what, I have some real doubts about Bob Ramsey and we're going to investigate him. There's a difference between Bob saying, come on in, here are all my financials and here's all my text with my wife and kids, and Bob going, okay, well, good luck. That's what I would expect Bob to do. No one does that, especially when you're the president and you have the opposing party with an independent counsel and a real sketchy FBI coming after you and your family, and they want you dead. Of course you're going to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. Another analogy. My very first practice playing pads football, I'd played lots of Sandlot, never had a helmet on, and I'm standing there holding a tackling dummy, and Perry Steelman, the biggest kid on the team, comes and just takes me down, and my face is bloody, and my Hall of Fame coach, Coach Rach, walks up and pulls me up. I'm in ninth grade, and he goes, son, if you don't defend yourself, you're not going to last out here. I didn't realize I was supposed to give resistance. I just stood there and let him tackle me. So I think what Trump is doing is defending himself. Mm-hmm. Now, when does defending yourself appropriately become obstruction of justice? That's above my pay grade, but I personally don't see it. But I can't imagine why people on the left who hate him and literally wish he would just die of a heart attack in his sleep. I understand why they would look at his weirdness and his obnoxiousness and his not giving up information and say, oh, he's obstructing. To me, he's just protecting himself. You see what I'm saying?
I do. It's how he does it. And that's the thing I have a problem with. I don't have a problem with defending himself, but go with what the law is and explain that, and don't muddy up the waters when you have a winning argument. And I think he's done that through the missteps of the investigation into Russia and the way he did things. And he stepped on his own narrative. And he stepped on his own talking points that he had people going out for. He's done this to himself. And we cannot stop, go and say, you know what? Because I support him, because he's so much better than any Democrat out there. Oh, I'm going to not address the other things because that could be weaponized against him. No, that's not weaponized against him. I think you're keeping your principles as well as you're articulating what's right, even if your side gets a little wrong occasionally.
Okay, it doesn't paint a pretty picture, that report.
That's where we're
just leave it at that.
No, we'll take it up right after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, the think tank. We have Bob Ramsey. We have Debbie Monterey. We have Crane Durham. And I had just given my whole, like, I don't know. I mean, I think the obstruction thing, Trump's weird, and he does weird things, and he's very defensive, and he's always going to protect himself, but that doesn't mean he's obstructing. And then, Deb, you had said right before the break, I don't think the Mueller report paints a very happy picture.
Yeah, I mean, whether he colluded, I mean, it's clear, I think at least now we all agree that Russia was interfering. But for 2.5 years, there was a denial even of that they weren't interfering. We know they were. Whether they were, you know, whether Trump had a part in that, we know he certainly welcomed any information that came. So, yeah, maybe the Democrats totally did a misstep on running with that. I think there probably were other things they could have investigated they might have gotten a little further with. As far as the obstruction thing, I totally get your point, Dave, that he would defend himself, you know, vociferously. But, you know, he did lie. He told other people to lie. He tried to fire people. He did try to end the investigation, which could just be defending himself. But isn't that also... I mean, I don't see how that wouldn't be obstruction.
Well, did he try or did he say, hey, can we? That's not, is that the same? I mean, you hate to
I don't
to
know,
get...
does Trump ever say, oh, you guys, can we?
Well, like the very first meeting with Comey that I feel like kind of started everything. Yeah. Did he say, hey, knock off this investigation? No, even in Comey's words, it was, hey, he's a nice guy. I hope you can look the other way. And that's not, it wasn't even really that far. It was like, hey, I hope you can, you know, let this go.
Which we all do.
Yeah, of course you do.
We all do.
But also, the people are doing it.
Hey, look, Dave's a nice guy. Let it go.
Let it go.
But the idea that there was a quid pro quo, there was no quid pro quo. That's the important thing. And a lot of the things don't make the president look good. And I don't think people should be going, oh, I'm proud of that and proud of that. No, but when it comes to the idea of accusing a president of colluding to work together with an enemy of the United States in order to win an election, in order to get some kind of payoff later, and they didn't get the payoff because the policy is much harsher under Trump than it was under President Obama, that to me, that's where the substance is. And obstruction is exactly right. There are instances where you go, oh, what is this? Okay, but we don't have that get off the, I'm going to stop the investigation. I'm going to fire this person because I want the investigation stopped. I've fired Comey ostensibly because he said he wanted the word out that he wasn't under investigation. He wasn't the target. So I just think that that's where the rubber meets the road.
Let's see. Gosh, there's so many things to talk about here. Sorry, I'm still getting... I've had this cold for 5 days.
No, it's probably allergies.
No, I don't think so.
Mold count's high, tree pollen is high, weed is high, and what else? Yeah, mold, tree, weed, and grass.
Boy, grass
it's
is getting
all
me.
Through
yeah.
the roof. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's pretty miserable.
You're going to make it, though.
Okay, I'm going to... I can do this.
Would you like a Sudafed?
Oh, I've got... Okay. I'm taking them rectally now. Like, anything.
That's too much information.
We really need to go there. That's so unpleasant.
It's the difference between Camo X and 97.1.
I never received that response.
Yeah. I was talking to Steve Moore the other day, Debbie's boss. He's like, I wish they say rectal more. I don't know. I just can't get Charlie Brennan to say it.
I'll work that in tomorrow morning.
Yeah, no pun.
That would be a moment.
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't that
be
great? You'd be like, well, Debbie?
That's right up the rectum.
This is what you do to people. This is awesome.
Yeah, the other day I said, poop shoot. And Sue Thomas, God love her.
She's the best.
She's awesome.
Had evidently never heard that, and she kept saying poop hole. And I'm like, you know, that's just different enough that it's even making me a little.
Right.
Yeah. But she kept using it that way.
Bless her heart.
That's right up the poop hole. And I'm like, maybe not. Maybe a little less on that.
Oh, how this conversation has taken a turn.
Yeah, gotta love the think tank. Okay, let's talk a little 2020. This seems so silly. It seems like talking about the NFL draft 2 years from now, but is anyone surprised that Biden is now like 32 points ahead of his next competitor?
Not really.
No.
He has the best name recognition, for sure. I mean, next to Bernie. But I do think a lot of people are kind of tired of Bernie. And I think a lot of people are approaching, a lot of people who don't like Trump are approaching this as, who's the best person who could beat Trump? And I think name recognition and the fact that they think he could beat Trump is why he's so far ahead. But I think it's a little interesting, you know, that first of all, Beto O'Rourke was getting, you know, oh, he should jump in the race. He should jump in the race. He's so charismatic. Then he finally did. And he's totally gotten overshadowed by Pete Buttigieg.
Yep.
Which I just don't know how long that will last because now Biden's in it. And I think all the attention will be on him. It's interesting to me how despite, you know, we have all these conversations about this very liberal media that pushes agendas. You would think if that's true, they'd be pushing all the women candidates up to the top and they're hardly getting any attention at all. I mean, I don't really hear much about the women in the race.
Gillibrand or Gillibrand, you know, she's playing beer pong with water. I mean, I don't drink anymore, but the bottom line is, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And what is that? I mean, seriously, I mean, it's like, you just want to be, you want to get your name out
there. Look at me! I'm in this race too!
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah. It's sad.
It was better when Ben Carson said, well, thank you for asking me a question so I can respond and criticize me. You
know? It's like in junior high when you had like 20 people running for student council and 18 of them had no chance at all. And you're just like, yeah, you should probably just not. No, I the chances are great that I would not vote for whoever the Democrat person is, even Biden. However, if you said, hey, Dave, if the Democrats take 2020, we're going to give your family $1 billion. Now I'm invested and I'm going
to
say
it has to be a billion, though.
I'll take a million. I would immediately say anyone who's not Biden, just they're not. It's just a matter of how bad they're going to get beat.
I think that the thing about Biden is, and I haven't heard the Democrats seize on this yet, because even those who love Trump they have to realize it's difficult getting anything passed because of the anger or angst or both. Most of it self-created. But I think the one Democrat candidate who could say, I can bring the parties together to get things done, whether it's true or not, I think Joe Biden could sell that. But it doesn't seem like the Democrats are ready to get to that point to make that sale. It looks like everybody else is pushing so far to the left that they don't even want to think about cooperating with Republicans. But I think Joe is the one who could say, you know, I can work with Republicans. I've done it my whole career, and I can make this happen and get the government running the right way. That's what I think they should be selling.
Whether Kamala Harris and Cory Booker and Buttigieg and Elizabeth Warren are crazy, I think they represent the left's version of Trump. They represent the left's version of kind of crazy. Yeah. Like, we're going to go socialist. I think that if there's going to be a change, it would be more of a return to sanity, if that makes sense. And I think Biden's the only one that represents that, even colorably.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else is just like, well, this is going to be a different version of nutty. And we got plenty of that. So.
Well, it's contrast to what's out there. Biden looks reasonable. That's quite frightening. And the fact is, I look at Biden and I look at what happened in the vice presidential debate and Paul Ryan and how he behaved and what he got behind in the sense of policies through the Obama administration. And I'm thinking, hey, do you all remember the economic ruin that we are facing? The American dream being dead and people, in essence, thinking they're going to live worse than their parents and a lower standard of living. This is something that it's interesting because economically, there's been a huge turnaround. And now we're going and we're talking about a lot of allegations that, once again, we see the light on this. And I'm thinking, we want to go back to bad policies? I mean, why does that even work? Oh, because he's against worse policies. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it's sort of like with the numbers are so important. And Trump's economic numbers, they're the best we've had probably since World War II. And it would be sort of like if I got kicked off my show and someone took it over and they took it to number one and they're number one with a 20 share. And I really, truly believe I'm better than them. But it's pretty hard to argue the 20 share. You know, it's like, if I'm going to do a campaign, what the hell am I going to say? Because whatever I say, that guy who took the DGS is mean, and he treats his people badly, and he seems, you know, he's unpredictable. And then it all has to go, 20 share. And it shuts me down. right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell is the 2020 candidate going to say?
I think a lot of it is going to be pushback of Trump's personality. And of course, you know, anything could happen with the economy. I do think that, you know, there are a lot of people who are doing really well, but there are just as many people who are not doing as well. The split between people who have the haves and have nots has never been greater. And polls have shown that one of the most important things to people right now is health care. And we still have not gotten a plan of how they're going to replace Obamacare once it's officially killed. And I think that concerns a lot of people.
When we come back, we'll talk about the latest shooting and Better Together.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked. High Hopes, streaming 420 on Hulu.